Let's pray as we prepare to hear God's word. Father, what a wonderful thing that we can say those final words, sing them, praise the Lord who took my blame. And we are so grateful to the Lord Jesus that he took the blame for our sin so that we could be blameless in your holy sight. It's an amazing thing. And we thank you that what took place on Palm Sunday was apparently a celebration of who he really is. And yet within a week, things had changed and he was facing rejection and trial in order that he could take the blame on the cross for us. But please help us now to understand a little of what your word has to say that will be helpful to us today, and open our hearts that we may receive it and it may do us truly good, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in John chapter 12, verse 13, we read that the people of Jerusalem took branches of palm trees and went out to meet Jesus. Now, it's interesting that John's gospel is the only one that mentions palm branches. So it's thanks to John that we get the title Palm Sunday for this particular week. Matthew and Mark just say that they cut down leafy branches, don't specify they were palm branches. And Luke doesn't even mention the branches. One of the other things the people did that day was to spread clothes on the road in front of Jesus. Luke tells us that bit, but he doesn't mention the leafy branches. But John specifies that they were palm branches. Now, some people have questioned whether John is right, because, they say, there were no palm trees near Jerusalem. Well, there's some uncertainty whether that claim is right or not, that there were no palm trees there. We do know for certain that there was a mass of palm trees about 40 miles away near where Jericho was, because Jericho was actually known as the City of Palms. And some people say there's a contradiction here in the Bible, with John saying it was palm branches. But I hope you would agree with me straight away that there are no contradictions in the Bible and God's word is true. And all you have to do is look at it a little bit more carefully and you discover that there's a difference in expression between Matthew and Mark, where they say that the people cut down leafy branches from the trees, obviously talking about trees nearby, whereas John says they took branches of palm trees. Doesn't say they cut them down there and then. Maybe they had them at home. Maybe they'd been in Jericho not so long ago and they had them and they brought them. And if you examine carefully the way that the Holy Spirit has inspired the wording, you can answer those who say there's a contradiction and say there most certainly is not. But it does raise another question. Why did John particularly mention palm branches? He must have seen some significance, don't you think, to specify, because from what we read in Matthew and Mark, there were quite possibly branches of other types as well. So why does John highlight the palm branches? And as a result, 2,000 years later, we're calling today Palm Sunday. Well, I think that John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, saw the significance of the palm branches because of the Old Testament's references to palm branches. Now, we know because Jesus told us that the whole Old Testament is fulfilled in him. And maybe the palm branches are fulfilled in him. They're pointers to him. even back in Old Testament days. And John has been given the perception to realize that by the Holy Spirit. So as he writes about Palm Sunday, he tells us explicitly that palm branches were involved. Now, I doubt that the people there in Jerusalem on that day had understood all that. They just happened to have palm branches, and so they brought them. And palm branches were often used in those days for times of celebration and for celebrating victories. And here they are wanting to celebrate Jesus. So quite naturally, they get out their palm branches and bring them to Jerusalem with them. But whatever they might have thought, God was certainly overruling the event, as he overrules every event. And he opens John's eyes to see the significance of the fact that palm branches were involved. So let me mention two things in the Old Testament that I think are crucial to the background to the use of palm branches on this particular day. And the first is the Feast of Tabernacles, or sometimes it's called the Feast of Booths. Once a year for 7 days, we read about this in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, the people of Israel were required to live in temporary accommodation, a bit like they did on the way out of Egypt, camping. And in Leviticus, it says that the reason for that is that they needed to remember what God had done back then in that great act of deliverance when he brought his people out of Egypt. We read about the Feast of Tabernacles and of Booths. It's just two different names for the same event. Also in the book of Deuteronomy and in the book of Nehemiah. And there are two keynotes, I think, when we look at the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. The first one is the beauty of the materials with which they made their temporary shelters. Because on the way out of Egypt, no doubt they were carrying some kind of tents with them. At the Feast of Tabernacles, they were told to erect booths out of branches. You can read about it in Leviticus 23, verse 40. And what God says to the people is, you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, and then some other branches as well. And palms were one example of natural beauty in this world. And why did God specify that, do you think, in connection with the Feast of Tabernacles? Was it not to emphasize to them his own beauty and the beauty of what he was doing for them? We read of the beauty of God a couple of times in the book of Psalms, and we can't see God. We're not talking about physical beauty, but when you examine what the Bible teaches about God and how every aspect of his personality, every attribute, as we call them, they all slot together in perfect harmony. Perfect harmony is beauty. And the people were remembering there in the Feast of Booths the beauty of the God who had done such a beautiful thing for them in rescuing them from Egypt and making them his own people. And of course, on Palm Sunday, we're pointed to the beauty of Jesus. I don't know if you remember that old chorus that some of us used to sing as children, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wondrous compassion and purity. Two elements highlighted there in the beauty of Jesus, compassion and purity. And what harmony there is between them. Because you could think, first of all, that those two things would clash. The purity of Jesus as he looks out on an impure world might make him withdraw his compassion. But no, there's harmony. He's pure. And yet in that compassion, he reaches out to this impure world. And we've benefited from that. We've come to know him as our Savior. I trust everyone can say that. And we've entered into the beauty of his salvation, a new life with a beautiful future. But if you can't say that yet, well, the Lord Jesus, in his compassion, stands before you and says, come to me. And in his purity, he's ready to change you so that we can all say, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Not that we're going to be as beautiful as he was until we see him face to face, but that day when he returns, we'll be perfect replicas of him in all his beauty. The other keynote at the Feast of Tabernacles was joy. Just reading on from where I stopped in Leviticus 23, verse 40. The fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. And we're going to rejoice before the Lord our God. That word before has the idea of looking him in the face. It's not just in his presence, but we're unaware of it. We're gazing into his eyes. And what more could there be than that to give us joy in our hearts when we see God in all his magnificence and recognize him as the God who in Jesus Christ has saved us from our sins? And Palm Sunday says to us, rejoice as you gaze into the face of the beautiful Savior. The other place where we read much about palm branches in the Old Testament is in connection with the temple. In 1 Kings chapter 6, we have the account of Solomon building the temple. And just to give you a couple of examples, it tells us in verse 32 that the two doors were of olive wood, and he carved on them figures of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, and overlaid them with gold. So on the doors of the temple, palm trees were carved. At the end of the book of Ezekiel, there's a sort of visionary temple that Ezekiel the prophet sees as a picture of the eternal glory prepared for God's people. And again, he sees palm trees carved on the walls and on carts and on window frames also, but the main thing, which he says repeatedly, on the doors and the gates. So just like the temple that Solomon built, palm trees on the doors, on the gates. Now, what's the significance of that? Well, these, of course, are the entry points. This is where you go in to the temple. And on Palm Sunday, little did they know it, but the people there in Jerusalem, waving their palm branches, were celebrating the fact that Jesus is the entry point into the eternal temple and into the living temple, which is his people in the world today. And as we enter into life with him, we enter into the beauty and the joy that we've referred to already. And Doesn't Jesus himself say, "I am the door. Whoever enters by me shall go in and out and find pasture." In other words, total satisfaction, every need supplied when we know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. And Palm Sunday is a testimony to the glorious, lavish, wonderful provision that's made for us when we take Jesus as the entry point into fellowship with God. So those are the main two Old Testament instances of palm trees. But before we finish, let's go to that passage that I read right at the beginning of the service from Revelation chapter 7. I don't know if you noticed when I read it, it speaks of this great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and now with palm branches in their hands. So having looked back to the Old Testament, we now look forward to a coming day when the work of the gospel in this world is completed and everybody who's been saved by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ is there before the throne with palm branches in their hands. And what happened on Palm Sunday was not just an echo of Old Testament reality, but also a signpost. Jesus is taking you there to that day of glory, when we'll have palm branches to celebrate what he has done for us. Why is that to be such a day of celebration? Well, if we had time, we could dig into this passage in great detail, but let me just mention a few of the most obvious things very briefly. It'll be a day of celebration because of the vastness of what Jesus has achieved, a great multitude which no one could number. I mean, God knows the number of his elect, but it's beyond human mathematical capability to calculate. Let's never fall into the trap of thinking that we're part of a chosen few. There's a great multitude are going to be saved. The grace of God is far vaster than we've ever understood. And it brings together as one body people from every country, every family, every culture, every language group. And all the credit for what is achieved in bringing them there is given to God. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb who sacrificed himself so that we could be part of that vast, incalculable multitude. No wonder the angels also celebrate and sing God's praise at the end of verse 12 of Revelation 7. And so Palm Sunday is a pointer to that day when the palm branches will be waved in heaven in celebration of what Jesus has achieved for us and in us. So do you know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour? Is there anybody here who still needs to become part of that innumerable multitude? Don't get left out. The gospel invitation says whoever will may come. So come to the Lord Jesus. And let this Palm Sunday be the start of your journey towards that glorious day of palms when we all meet Jesus in glory. So we want to thank you, Father, for all that you've achieved through the Lord Jesus and the wonderful work of salvation which he's achieved in all its beauty and with all the joy it brings us. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the entry point, the doorway, the gate into your presence. And we thank you that that day is coming when we shall be in your presence inseparably forever. And what a day of rejoicing that will be. Encourage our hearts with these thoughts, we pray, and stimulate us in the week ahead to live with joy and with gratitude for all that you've done for us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we'll sing as our closing hymn, number 288. See the ransomed millions stand, palms of conquest in their hand. 288. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Blessing and honour and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And may the blessing from God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit be with us now and remain with us forevermore. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.